Well, it's so good that you've joined us today. I really believe and pray that this message will inspire you, lift you, and fill you full of faith. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, Planet Shakers. It is good to be with you. And to all of Australia, happy Father's Day. I am so happy that Pastor Russell asked me to do the sermon for you, and we're going to have a good time. It's called Raise It Up. That's what we're going to talk about today. You see, you have to understand that no matter what you're going through in life, God is always moving. He's always in charge. Even when you're at a crossroads and you don't know what to do or where to turn, He's there for you. So let's go to the Word of God. In Psalms chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2 says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures and He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters." I love verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me." David, in this verse, he simply says that it's a valley of the shadow of death. It's a deep, dark valley where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. So many times people end up in that place with the disappointments and frustrations and the discouragements and the dilemma of life. Sometimes we wonder what it is, but David says it ain't nothing but a shadow. Now, what I did was I looked up the definition of the word shadow. Now, I would say I looked in a dictionary, but all you young people, let's just say I Googled it. You know what I'm saying? So here's what it says. "A dark area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface." Let me give it to you one more time. "A dark area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface." Then I realized something. In order for there to be a shadow, light has to be nearby. In John chapter 1, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So I love this because David helps us realize that no matter how dark your life looks, no matter how bad it seems, Jesus is there because it ain't nothing but a shadow. And you can make it through it. When the people of Israel got to the Red Sea and the Egyptians were chasing them, the Bible says it's the entire Egyptian army. They could not see a way through that Red Sea. They could not see a way around the Red Sea. And here comes people trying to kill them. What they did not know is what we need to know today. Even though the Red Sea was in front of them, they didn't see the road that God had already made through the Red Sea. There's a road through your dark. There's a road through your sorrow. There's a road through your pain. There's a road and through racism. There's a road that goes through COVID-19. We may not be able to see it yet, but God has already made a way. You got to know that going through this journey that we call life, there's hills and there are valleys, but we're gonna make it. And that's what today is all about. There's this way. God has a way of getting us through this. And let's look at it. Let's go there. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13, but let me set you up. The people of Israel have just been set free. They were slaves for years, but all of a sudden, here comes Moses. He goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No." Then all this nasty comes dropping down on him. All this stuff happens. Finally, he says, "Get your people and get out. Just get your people and go." So the people of Israel free. They're marching out of Egypt. They're marching out of captivity. All the people are singing about Moses. "We love Moses. Yes, we do. We love Moses. How about you?" And other people are singing back, "We love him more." Then all of a sudden, there's the Red Sea. Everybody stops, but there's always somebody looking back. Why do we always have to look back? There's a reason why the rearview mirror is so much smaller than the front windshield. If you keep looking back while you're trying to move forward, you're going to hit something. You're going to run into something. But there's always somebody. And this dude looking back goes, "Here they come." And the Bible says it was the entire Egyptian army coming to kill the people. And the people, they changed their song. They went from, "We love Moses. Yes, we do. We love Moses. How about you? Let's kill Moses. Let's kill Moses." And all of a sudden, here we go. And this is what Moses says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses says, Do not be afraid. Stand your ground and you will see what the Lord will do to save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again. Now, a lot of you are like, well, he knew what he was going to do because he had already seen the movie with Charlton Heston. He knew he was going to raise his stick and everything. The waters would part and they'd walk through on dry ground. No. You got to understand, people have to live their life so great that somebody writes about it. Then somebody makes a movie about it. Then everybody can live through it. We need somebody today to love God so much that somebody sees it and writes about it. Let them make a movie and then let's live our life through this. You have to understand, he had faith in God. Do you? Today, I'm asking you on your Father's Day, have faith in your Heavenly Father. Have faith in God. Let him lead you. Let him be the one that guides you because you can make it. Look at verse 14. The Lord will fight for you today. Just keep still. Verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying? Dude, I love this about God. Because everybody has their mental image of God. A lot of people, their picture of God is a dude in a white dress with a purple sash running through the woods hugging trees. Nah, not me. My picture of God is Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Terminator with guns out going, I'll be back. That's the God that I got right here. Because he's like, why y'all crying? Don't you think I can take care of this? And I love this because he said in verse 16, lift up your walking stick. That's why it's called raise it up. Lift up your walking stick. You know what we need to do in this world we're living in? We have so many Red Seas in front of us. We have so many people chasing us behind us. So what do we need to do? We need to raise up hope. We need to raise up love. We need to raise up peace. We need to raise up redemption. We need to raise up Jesus in this time because he will make a way out of no way and he will turn our darkness into day. He will be our joy in a time of sorrow. He will be our hope for our tomorrow. Come on, Planet Shakers, go with me on this today. Let me tell you, no matter where you're at in life, God's got the answer. He's got a road going through your problem. You just got to trust him. Let the Lord be your shepherd today because he will make a way out of no way. What happened? It's real simple. He raised the stick, the waters parted left and right, and they walked through on dry ground. Now, let me give you something. This is free. I'm just going to give this to you. Here's what I love about God. He cares about every need you are concerned about. Whatever you're worried about on this Father's Day, God has an answer for you. Let's take that story, for example. Here's what I love about this story. What I love about it is this. You know good and well, when the people of Israel were leaving captivity, all those teenagers went out and bought those new air pharaohs because you got to have your new kicks on to make it through some long. You don't know how long you're going to be walking. So they saved their money, got the air pharaohs. They're leaving captivity. Then the waters part. It's all of a sudden they're like, I'm going to get my airs messed up. It's all muddy. But see, God had already knew they would be that concerned. And so he made it dry ground. Now, some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Is that really true? But listen very carefully in this stupid illustration. No matter what you're concerned about, you may think in the world's view, it's no big deal. Your Heavenly Father knows it's a big deal to you. So it's a big deal to him. Just trust him and let him help you. You know what I love in Psalms 23? How David started. He starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I like that because he's not telling you what to do. And to be honest today, I am not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here to tell you you need to change. I'm not here to do nothing. I'm just here to tell you what I did. Because see, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I love that about David. And what he did in this story is simple. In this simple passage, he let us know what his hope was in, where his future lied. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he knew about it because when David was a teenager, his brothers went to fight a war. He could not go. So his dad sent him to take care of the sheep. One day, a lion came out of the woods and tried to get the sheep. You know what David did? He centered himself between the lion and the sheep, and he killed the lion to save the sheep. Another day, a bear came out, did the same thing. I don't think this bear read the newspaper, because if he had, he'd have known his little buddy got killed trying to kill that sheep the other day. But he came out trying to get a sheep. What did David do? A second time, he stood between the bear and the sheep, and he killed the bear. What is David telling us? He's telling us he knows what a shepherd can do. He knows how a shepherd will win. And he knew that if the Lord was his shepherd, then the Lord would stand between him and whatever was coming against him, and he would fight for him, and he would defeat the enemy for him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love that. It just makes me happy. And I'm here to tell you today, the Lord is my shepherd. But the question is he yours? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you need him today? Do you need to make him Lord of your life? Are you struggling in this thing called life? If it is, the Lord needs to be your shepherd. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is real. Give him a chance and let him help you today. Now, I learned something about this whole sheep and shepherd thing that was really cool. I go all over the world speaking in public schools, and I was in South Africa speaking in schools, and I noticed on my tour, there was a 17-day tour, and there was only 14 days of schools. So I'm like, in the last 2 days, hey, I'm out. I'm gonna go home early. I gotta get out of here. But they said, no, we're gonna do something special for you. I said, what is this? They said, we're gonna take you on a safari. Now, where I'm from in America, we don't do this safari thing. I heard of it before. I saw movies about it, but we just go to the zoo and watch the monkeys in the cage. That's all we do where I'm from in Tennessee. All of a sudden, these guys go, we're going to get in this Jeep. It ain't got no doors, ain't got no roof, and we're going to go out in the wild, and we're going to see all the animals in their natural habitat, which did not sound appeasing to me, because I'm like, say that again. He said, we're going to get in a Jeep with no doors and no roof, and we're gonna go watch the animals where they live. So what kind of animals are we talking about? He goes, hippopotamus, zebras, lions, tigers, all that stuff. I went, what? You just described sushi, all right? And we the food, all right? Now, I ain't doing that, but they talked me into it. And I'll be honest with you, it was a trip I will never, ever forget. On the first day, we get out and we're riding around and we saw lions. We saw a lion kill an impala. It was the chase down of a lifetime. For all you people who love animals, it wasn't pretty. I'm just saying, all right? All of a sudden, we come over a hill in this Jeep with no doors, no windows, and there's a herd, get the word, herd of elephants in the road. Now, I'm not talking like Dumbo, those little dudes. No, we're talking the ones with the horns coming out and everything. And my driver starts honking. And I said, bro, what is wrong with you? This is their road. Let them do it. He goes, nah, they got to get out of the way. Finally, they moved and we went on. But then we got to the last day. It was almost dinner time. We came over a hill and there had to be 1,000 sheep in the middle of the road, and one guy with a stick making them go down the hill to the lake and get some water. And these sheep were everywhere. And when we stopped behind us, we heard bah. There was a lot of baaing going on. There were sheep everywhere. And another shepherd, literally in 2 minutes, there was about 10,000 sheep, 4 shepherds, and all these sheep were running down to the water. It looked like kindergarten, first day of school on the playground. People jumping on each. It was crazy. And the first thought I had was, somebody gonna lose a sheep in this thing. And the shepherds came over, they knew the driver, he introduced me, and I said, hey, how many sheep do you lose when you bring them down here to get something to drink? And then one shepherd goes, oh no, sir, I'll show you, but give me can you wait 5 minutes? I said, sure. And he goes, you know the Bible, right? I said, yeah. You know when it says the Lord is my shepherd? I said, yeah. He said, well, you're about to understand that. So we waited 5 minutes, talked a little bit, told him what I did, schools, I just public schools, all that. Then all of a sudden, one guy goes, Freddie, you go first. And Freddie went, hey! And about 10, all these sheep, they were like, bah. And they looked right at Freddie and started walking toward him. Another shepherd whistled, and another 1,500 sheep turned and walked to him. I'm like thinking to myself, are you kidding me? And the one shepherd looked at me and goes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the sheep know their shepherd's voice. Do you know yours? That's the question today. When he calls, can you hear him? Are you wrapped up in the hurt and the pain of your life so much that you can't hear him anymore? That you can't dictate his voice, his whistle, his sound from the other whistles in the world trying to distract you? You have to find your way home. Now let's go on to the next point on this Father's Day. Planet Shakers, let me ask you something. That verse, when it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's one key word in that entire thing. Through. You were never meant to live in that valley. You were never meant to pitch a tent and start camping and cooking in that valley. You were meant to keep moving through that valley. Learn what God wanted you to learn and get through there. You can't stop in the valley. There are people watching today, listening today on this Father's Day. And for some reason, you stopped in the valley. You stopped. You started pitching a tent. You're living in the hurt. You're living in the pain. You're living in the sorrow. You're living in the discomfort. You were never born to live there. You were meant to go through it, learn, and keep moving. So here's what I'm asking you to do today on this Father's Day. If you're in a valley, if you've decided to live there, leave the tent, leave the sleeping bag, leave all the cooking utensils, get yourself up and start moving in Jesus' name. Let him be your shepherd today. Let him guide you out of the hurt, out of the pain, out of the sorrow. Let him be there for you. Let him be there for you. You have to understand today, it's very, very important. In this world that we live in, there's a lot of hurt and pain and sorrow. There's a lot of discomfort going on. But you have to remember who your shepherd is, who your shepherd is. It reminds me of a simple story. There was a little old lady who lived in a neighborhood for 55 years. She saw everyone come and go, even her own husband. But she worked at a little daycare and she loved that daycare. And even though she was older, she still spent time working with kids at that daycare. Now, every morning when she got out to go to work, she would walk on her porch, she would raise both hands high, and she would say as loud as she could, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way." And she'd go down the steps and go to work. Well, the house beside her, the people moved and a neighbor moved in. She did not know that he was an atheist man who lived by himself. But on that first morning, when she stepped on her porch, raised her hands and yelled, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day," he fell out of his bed because he wasn't looking for that to happen. Day after day, she would do it. So he decided to get back at her. So one morning when she said, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this for me." And she walked off the porch. He ran outside and he yelled, "There is no God. There is no Jesus," and slammed his door. So now the fight was on. Every day that she said it, he would jump out and say it. Then she would say it, then he would. On one morning, months after he had lived there, she stepped out on the porch and her prayer was a little different. She said, "Jesus, you know I need you. You know I'm hungry. You know somewhat happened and I don't have groceries. But I thank you for another day. I thank you for making a way." And she walked off her porch and went to help the kids. And the man came out and he yelled, "There is no God. There is no Jesus." And as he went back into his house, he had this thought, "I know what I'm going to do." So that day he went out and he bought groceries, 3 big bags of groceries, everything he thought that woman would need. And he knew what time she came home from work. So he literally took the 3 bags of groceries, put it by her door, and he went and he hid waiting for her to come home. When she came home and she saw those groceries, she had a Holy Ghost car wash dance in her front yard. She's dancing. She's like, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You came through for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And he jumped out of the bushes and he started yelling at her, "God didn't do it. God didn't do it. I bought those groceries." She's like, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. Thank you." And he goes, "Lady, God didn't do it. God didn't do it. It was me. I did it. I did it." She goes, "Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. And thank you, Jesus, because you even made the devil pay for it." Sometimes in life, you have to know he will make a way for you. You see, I found out something in life. We go to the mountaintop to meet God. That's what we do when we go to Planet Shakers Church. That's our mountain. Your local church, that's your mountain. And that's where we go when we want to meet with God. But in the valley, that's where God comes to save us. He comes to save us in that valley. So if you're going through a valley and you don't feel anything around you, he's there. If you're in that valley and you don't know what to do, he is there. He will always be there for you. I love the story in the book of John about a man named Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he wanted to see who Jesus was, so he knew where Jesus was coming, but he couldn't see because the crowd was so large. The cool thing about the Bible, it gives us stuff that we need to know. See, the Bible says that this dude Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And a tax collector, of course, is a dude who collects taxes. And the Bible says he was rich. Now, when the Bible say you're rich, you know you got some bucks. You know what I'm saying? You just got some cash. The Bible go, you rich? You rich. But the Bible also said he was short. which is why he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Now, if you got a guy who's rich in the Bible term, who comes and collects money from you, and he's short, and he asks you if he could stand in front of you to see Jesus walk by, would you let him? The answer would be no. And that's what the people did. But he knew which way Jesus was going. And the Bible says he ran ahead and he climbed a tree, a sycamore tree, to see Jesus walk by. What I do like about this guy is he never gave up. Even though people said no, he kept making a way to find out what he wanted to see. When he climbed the tree and Jesus walked by, the Bible says in verse number 5, when Jesus got to the spot, I love that. Because see, there's a spot in everyone's life. There's a spot when your valley gets too dark. There's a spot when you can't find a way. There's a spot when you don't think you can live another day. There's a spot when you don't know what to do. There's a spot when you're so lonely. There's no one around you. No one would let you see hope. No one would let you get to hope. No one would let you have hope. There's a spot in your life. Some of you, there's a spot today. You're in that spot. You're in that valley. It's dark. You don't even know if the Lord is still your shepherd or not. You're not on the mountain here to meet him. You're in the valley where he needs to come and save you. Today is that day. Today is the day that your heavenly Father comes in and saves you. You got to let him do that. The Bible says when Jesus got to the spot, he looked up in a tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house today. Wow. First thing first, how did Jesus know he was up there? And the second thing, Jesus knew his name. Today, I want you to know, Jesus knows your name. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows when you come and when you go, when you stand and when you sit. He's got you. But are you letting him love you? Are you letting him be your heavenly Father on Father's Day? There are two people I want to pray for today. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? Are you with him today? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I don't know what to do, but I know you're here. So I'm trusting you. Even if I can't see you, I'm trusting you. Even if I can't feel you, I'm trusting you. Help me with my sin. That's it. It's that simple. Second thing is you're going through a valley. And you forgot to go through it. You're hurting, you have sorrow and pain, and on this Father's Day, you're really lonely. I wanna pray for you. You know who you are. And a lot of people think, well, if you're not in church, if you have to watch it on, no, the same God that is in this room while I'm filming this is with you right now while you're listening, and he loves you. Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. God, I pray for those who today have asked you to be Lord of their life. God, I pray today would be a supernatural moment that happens right now. Touch them, change them, be with them. God, I pray for those who are in a valley, for those who are in sorrow and hurt, the pain that's going through their life right now. God, I pray right now, God, that you would speak to them. Let them know that they can make it. Let them know that you will make a way out of no way. Let them know that you will be their groceries if they need it. God, I pray, God, that you would bring healing to the bodies of the people of Planet Shakers and touch them today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?